The following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Yo, this is Eddie Schumard coming to you live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn at the HeritageRadioNetwork.org studios. This is a special community session, and sitting in with me today is our executive producer, Aaron Fairbanks. In the engineering booth is Dedrick Sarzaba. Today we're talking Good Eggs, the San Francisco-based food local food aggregator. And in the studios with us, we have the Brooklyn community lead, Josh Morgenthau. And local food advocate, Ali Schmidt. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you so much
for having us.
So, Josh, let's start with you. Give us the Good Eggs mission. What is Good Eggs trying to do?
So, Good Eggs mission is to grow and sustain local food systems worldwide. And it started in San Francisco in 2011, just with a group of people from the technology community and the food-making community, kind of seeking to use software to create solutions for local food makers and farmers to direct market their product. So at first they were building kind of direct sales platforms and kind of web stands, sort of like an Etsy page for local food, for tailor-made for local food makers and farmers. But as they got this network of producers together, they realized the potential for aggregating these orders and having an online marketplace where people could shop from multiple food makers and put all of those really good products in one basket and get it for local pickup or home delivery.
So I want to talk about the word aggregate just for a little bit, because that's a word I've seen a lot and we hear about local food aggregators. Can you give us your definition, Good Eggs' definition of the word aggregator? What does that mean to you?
Aggregator, well, I mean, I think, you know, in this case, it's a situation of the highest quality food that's being made in our communities today, I think, is coming from small farmers and food makers who are really more conscious about their impacts in the community, on the environment, how they source their supplies or ingredients, and the impact that's going to have. So there's really a need to kind of pool resources and aggregate kind of in the general sense, either supply and distribution, but also aggregating collective resources, storage and processing facilities. So, I mean, I think it, you know, you can get to a really broad definition, but in our case, it's about creating this infrastructure to promote delivery and direct market access to local food products from multiple producers.
So can you just give an example for folks who haven't kind of ordered or worked with you guys in the past? When I go to the site and I'm putting together my basket, what are some of the types of things that can be included there?
So we have a really great selection, and we're actually doing our first aggregated delivery and pickup in New York this Friday. So this is a great time to be.
Is there still time to order?
There actually is. You can order until 11:59 tonight. So, yes, there is time. Go ahead and order right now. And we're doing a promotion for first-time orders. If you enter the promotion code CHERRYCOBBLER, you get 15% off your first order.
Awesome. What's the website again?
It's goodeggs.com/NYC awesome. To get to that marketplace. But right now we have really great products from two farms, one of which is my own family farm, Fishkill Farms, and Blooming Hill Farm. We have beautiful veggies from them. We have a whole variety of pies and baked goods, bread, both standard and gluten-free bread. We have milk and cheese and a whole slew of other products.
So what's it, you know, you have all these good eggs, as you call them, these local food makers and farmers. What is that, the application process? How do you guys seek out these good eggs? And then what is that process like? How do you sort of vet whether they're a good egg or a sort of good egg or a bad egg?
What? It's a real Veruca Salt situation. Right.
Either well, Josh, I mean, or Ali. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And we've found that it's really good. It has to be a local definition because different crops grow in different places, and different climates affect the kind of best practices of farmers and food makers in terms of how they source, in terms of how they manage crops. So it's really a shifting definition we found. But for New York, we're looking for farms that are farming organically, either certified or practicing organic. We're looking for food makers that are using either local or organic ingredients. But we realize that we can't, it's very rare that you'll find a perfect producer who's like following everything that you'd want them to. And in those cases, it's often prohibitively expensive. So we're really into just encouraging better practices, and hopefully by providing this new market for our producers, we can get them to raise the bar a little bit.
I'm curious, so would success kind of for the producers who decide to work with you, like, would success look like coming in, having Good Eggs kind of undergird some of their product line and open them up to a new customer base, but eventually would be for them to leave you and move on to a different or larger scale production? Do you see yourself as kind of a stop along the business model, or are you an end to
No,
it?
I mean, I think going back to our mission of growing and sustaining local food systems worldwide, we're kind of fundamental part of our mission is to support small producers and help them grow, but really grow with them. So we're looking at, you know, expanding our distribution, probably quickly moving into larger spaces as we're working with more producers and they're expanding their production. So no, I think we're trying to create a solution that is a long-term, it has long-term viability for producers.
So someone entering a partnership would be looking at a long-term relationship.
Absolutely.
Nice. Yeah.
You talk about like scale and context. How do you move from, you know, how do you stick with your mission of supporting local food systems in this like diverse set of decentralized small producers and scale up and get bigger and grow and still hold on to that mission? Like,
that is
and still disrupt the industry, right?
That is the challenge. But I think we found that, you know, most small food makers are really, they recognize that expanding their own business is kind of crucial to their long-term viability and success, and we really haven't met anyone who, I mean, there's a few cases where people are like, no, I'm a one-man show and I'm making my product for 100 customers and that's it, but usually there's a real, you know, with these small businesses, a mission is implied, and the mission is to get good food out and to feed more people, and so, you know, I think everyone is passionate about providing good food for more people. So I think, you know, that is the challenge, but I also think that, as we grow, hopefully we can grow small businesses in tandem with our, operation.
You did mention earlier that, you know, finding those kind of unicorn producers who are doing everything kind of as we imagine in our little perfect food world, it is a challenge. And when you do find them, they're often, prohibitively expensive. Can you talk a little bit about kind of the cost criteria? Is there a particular type of consumer that you think that you're serving best? Or, I mean, how do you like work with the economics of both for your customers, but also for the producers that you bring in?
I think that is the other challenge. But part of the ingenuity, I think, of our model and what makes it potentially revolutionary is the idea that we're really cutting out one middleman or a bunch of middlemen, and so we're returning a much higher price or a higher portion of the retail price point to our producers, and that I think will enable them to do exactly what I was talking about before, which is what most of them want to do, you know, to source more product locally, maybe more organically, whatever the case may be, you know, by cutting out the middleman and providing this direct market with some of the efficiency of wholesaling for the producer, I think, you know, it allows us to maintain a pretty fair price point on the consumer end and also a good return to the producer. But we don't want, you know, we don't want this to be an elitist project. We want it to make really good food available to a larger demographic. So that is a kind of prime concern.
Is that, you know, you talk about like, you know, access and sovereignty and getting, you know, these kind of products to lower income or maybe marginalized communities. What is Good Eggs doing, or what's the long-term thinking to include those people in the Good Eggs process? I mean, are SNAP benefits, you know, sort of like accepting those? Is that on the table, or is that, you know, is that a little bit too far out to sort of speak of right now?
No, I think that's a great point, and it's definitely part of our long-term mission. But, I mean, you know, specifically if you look at SNAP benefits, there are a host of complications because we're sort of the retailer, and, you know, a lot of the kind of fresh food farmers market benefits need to be going directly to the producer. But I think we feel like there's enough of a commitment in New York City and in Brooklyn to supporting local food, that if we can harness some of that, and I think it doesn't break down along class lines. I think we've seen a lot of customers and a lot of people from all different neighborhoods and backgrounds embracing local food and recognizing that, you know, the food that we're getting in most supermarkets is not the best for us. And so if we can harness that across class boundaries and then, you know, I think down the line really focus on food deserts in some areas that we really would love to do. But again, it's sort of like a little bit of a Herculean effort, and just supporting our producers and finding a market and making this work is like our primary project.
Yeah, well, right, your first delivery day is just coming up this
right,
week.
Exactly,
so
exactly.
We're like, you haven't solved the right, kind of food access problems in New York City yet? Guys, it's been a couple of weeks.
Give us till 5 o'clock.
Yeah, something. Well, I do want to touch on, you know, you were started as this collaboration between the food world and the tech world. And I'm wondering if you can touch on a little bit what role you see kind of technology playing in your business. Aside from the fact that it can go and order online, are there kind of emerging technologies, are there emerging tools for the producers or for the consumers that we're not really seeing anywhere else yet? Or how are you making sure you're kind of staying at the forefront from the tech end?
Yeah, I mean, on the kind of surface, when you go to the Good Eggs marketplace, it's fairly simple, you know, shopping experience where you're buying from a variety of producers. But actually, the technology to support that network of producers and to do it, you know, where we're ordering produce from a farm that is going to be delivered in a few days or, you know, pretty much 48 hours. The technology to support that kind of turnaround is really pretty, I think, revolutionary and new, and that's what San Francisco has been working on engineering. So when you look at the online shopping experience, it seems simple, but really, you know, we're not getting the products from one or two big distributors where we can just place an order and hold inventory. We're doing on-demand ordering, and all of those orders get aggregated and then sent back to all our producers in a kind of lightning fast time frame. And so that tool and developing that software to support that process has been, I think, pretty amazing. And that's what I think it took, and that's what it's going to take to do, kind of pull off a project like this.
And when we're talking about tech and you know, its power to connect people and you know, kind of get over these logistical hurdles, how do you maintain, how do you use the technology to maintain, you know, the benefits of sort of like a standard farmer's market, that relationship between, you know, food maker, farmer, and consumer? And is that a discussion you have? And do you think your technology kind of has that power to do the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly do. I know that we are categorized as this tech company that started in San Francisco, but we're also a very friendly company. You know, we love to host events with our producers where they all come together and we speak on a range of topics and we collaborate and we come up with crazy ideas about how we all can work together and how we can make local foods really reach Brooklyn in a substantial way. And, you know, there is a really direct line of communication between the customer and the farmer if they so choose through our software. So I think that software and technology in general has a really negative connotation when it comes to the food movement. I know that if you look at the bigger kind of implications of technology in agriculture, it is kind of scary and almost deafening. But I think it's important to know that this can actually be a technology that is can be a helpful tool for all of us in growing this local food movement.
Do you see a lot of sort of tech folks out there, coders, web designers, do you see them drawn to projects like this? Do you see this sort of as a way for people maybe who are passively interested in food to get behind a project like this? Or are people reaching out to you like, I'm a coder, I'd love to get involved in this kind of project? Maybe, yes?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think...
A lot of nodding heads in the radio studio. Yeah.
Nodding heads don't work on the radio, I guess. absolutely. I think it's actually, in response to what Ali was saying, there is the negative connotation of technology in sort of artisan movements and certainly in agriculture, but I view it in a much more progressive way where I think technology, there's good technology and there's bad technology, and we can't let bad technology make us kind of assume this Luddite regressive point of view. We have to figure out how to use technology for good, because certainly, the Monsantos and plenty of other large corporations have figured out how to use it for profit alone. I think, and coming from a farming background, I think it's, technology is like just crucial to figure out how we're going to feed the growing world population in a kind of sustainable way and in a way that's healthy for people.
Cool. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're in studios today with Good Eggs. Josh Morgenthau, Ali Schmidt, Aaron Fairbanks, Executive Director of Heritage Radio Networks, in studio with us today. And when we come back, we'll talk more about profit with purpose. Thanks for listening, guys.
Today's program was brought to you by Rolling Press. Rolling Press is a family-run digital and offset print house that brings together eco-friendly methods, ethical practices, and personalized service. Using environmentally responsible papers, non-toxic inks, and wind power, Rolling Press represents the harmony of traditional craftsmanship and mindful sustainability. Rolling Press offers advice on reducing paper waste and energy consumption, helping you save money and minimize your carbon footprint. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
In studio, talking good eggs with a couple of good eggs, Josh and Allie, and my co-host, Eddie, today. So before we took a break, we were talking a little bit about some of the community building aspects of the organization. And one of the things that always kind of puts me a little on edge when I look at making my purchases online is like this loss of the kind of community experience. Like, what am I gaining and what am I losing in that transaction? And so how are you guys working to ensure that we're not kind of a bunch of local foodies sitting in our apartments eating lovely meals by ourselves?
I think that's a really great question. And the last thing that I want to do, or that anybody should want to do, is take away what makes the farmers market so essential and fantastic, which is that it can serve as this kind of town hall where people come together, they bring their kids, hopefully somebody is singing with a banjo, as they do. And at Good Eggs, we try to take that spirit and make it fit for what we're trying to do. And I know that, on a producer end, before we had about 25 producers, when we were just beginning, I was cooking dinner every other week at my apartment, and everyone was coming over and, bringing wine or bringing...
I miss those dinners.
I know I miss those. Well, I'm not sure I miss those, cooking for so many people. But another thing that we're going to be implementing in these next couple of weeks as we're doing our fulfillment is having little fun parties for every time we do a delivery or every time we host a pickup spot. So on Friday, for example, when people come by to pick up their groceries, we're going to be handing out milk and cookies, and we're going to be playing music and having fun together. So I think that's a really important spirit that we're trying to cultivate.
And I think just to add to that, on the actual online interface side, from the very beginning, that direct connection to the producer has been part of the mission. So when you shop and you're picking a product, it's not just a photo of the product. There's also a photo of the food maker or the farmer with a product. And if you click on that photo, you get back to the producer's web stand, which is sort of like their online shop, and also has information about their business and maybe their philosophy and the background of the people behind the food. Although we can't, maintain the face-to-face interaction, I think there's actually a lot of potential in a new way for people to learn a lot more than they often do going to a farmer's market, where, it's not usually the farmer themselves there. It's often staff, farmer's market staff. The opportunity for someone to buy something online and learn and do more research right in that process, I think, is a pretty different but amazing experience from getting it directly from the farm at a farmer's market.
And I'm curious, Josh, because you are also a food producer, a farmer, and I'm wondering what role do you see an organization like Good Eggs, or what role does Good Eggs play for a farmer that's different than, and in your farm business, essentially, then maybe it's different than the role it would play for someone who's producing jams or pies? I mean, when you're thinking about it as a business decision, what are you kind of getting out of that, and is that your primary outlet, or do you expect it to be primary outlet, or is it like a supplement to other kind of outlets for your produce mm-hmm. or meats?
I mean, I think it's going to start as as one piece of the business, and then I think the potential of it is that we can really increase our direct market, in a huge way, and a lot of most farms, including ours, and most producers have some split of retail and wholesale, they produce X and they can retail, Y, and they're trying to expand that because that's where the profit is. But they're in a space and have staff that can produce, even more. So they're wholesaling. So a lot of, I think, producers are, whether it's farmers or value added producers, bakers, and people, making processed like jams and chutneys, they are they're facing the same challenge, which is trying to find more direct market outlets without doubling their work to support the practices that make their product so good. I think that's the hope. I mean, I'd love to cut out all the wholesale we're doing as a farm and put all of that into Good Eggs.
You touch on why it's so important to buy direct. It's great. More money goes to the person that you're handing the cash over to. One other thing, you guys are starting in New York State here. I wonder if you can talk about doing business in New York State versus doing business in the state of California, and if there were kind of barriers or hurdles or opportunities that presented themselves because of the separateness, and I think across the board, really, with regards to sourcing or kind of policy or incentives that make it easier or harder for the work you're trying to do.
Well, there are a couple of tensions that come along with being a San Francisco-based company. But in general, we are working hard together. It's, we may be across the country from one another and split as divided as a company, but we are talking on the phone together every single day. We're doing Google Hangs. We're very much involved in this synergistic process. But I'd say in terms of onboarding, farmers and food makers, potentially people in San Francisco are a little bit more willing to jump on board to a tech company. So that was a potential hurdle to begin with. But I actually don't think that it's affected us very much. I mean, I think as soon as people hear about Good Eggs and they meet the team, they realize that, Josh has, grown up on a farm and I have baked for years in London, and Aaron is a food lover. So they know that what we're trying to do in this mission that we're trying to accomplish is so much bigger than all of us. So, what could have been a problem, I think, is actually not one anymore. I don't know. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, I think, I mean, in terms of, like, state regulations and that sort of thing, you know, there are some differences. The bigger issues in kind of geographic differences are seasonality in New York is totally different right. than in California. So, you know, we're still scratching our heads a little bit about what the produce selection is going to look like in January. But there are more and more farms doing year-round production or storage crops or, you know, freezing produce that that I think can make kind of fill that gap. But yeah, I think that's, you know, I think each, the challenge of creating this project, this holistic solution that's going to work in multiple states and cities, and that is going to work for different geographies is just that, that you, there's no one recipe. So we're really constantly having to learn and adapt to the local kind of food community.
So yeah. what new cities are you looking at? And then, you know, communities in, you know, cities across the country, how do they say, good eggs, we're ready for you here. We want this sort of online experience and online marketplace and this connection with our regional producers. How do they get in touch with good eggs and how do you find where you're going to go next?
Sure. Well, there's actually a function on our site where you can go on and enter your zip code for where you'd like to see good eggs next. And Brooklyn was by far and above like the next obvious answer.
For some reason, I'm not surprised.
No, nor am I. So I think it's a lot of it is user generated, but I think that coming to Brooklyn was a lot because of the people here, and we're inspired every single day by the local food makers and the farmers that are doing incredible things across the city. And I think that, you know, Josh played a really big role in that. He's a really inspirational character himself, and he was the perfect person to kind of lead this team.
You're sitting there looking so humble, Josh. Like, what lies
not
beneath?
Not used to this type of praise.
Well, I have to say, I was pretty thrilled to see, you know, some supporters of the Heritage Radio Network on your lineup: Brooklyn Slate Co., Sweet Deliverance, Kelly Geary. Really lovely to see like members of those communities kind of in a new community, and definitely want to just give them a shout out for folks who are visiting the site right now, placing their order before 11 p.m.
Right.
tonight.
Yes.
How many people do you see? I mean, we were talked a little bit before about, you know, creating that community at the pickup spots, and you also have a home delivery option. What's the split there? Do you see a lot of people kind of engaging in that CSA style pickup and like have that community, or are people diving into this like, yeah, bring it straight to my house? That sounds wonderful.
There's a good mix. I mean, of course, doing our first fulfillment this Friday, we don't yet know what New York is going to be like, but in San Francisco, as the business has grown over the past few months, the pickup spots have grown kind of in tandem with home delivery, a little bit heavier on the home delivery side, but it's been actually surprising how popular the pickup experience has been. And I think that, you know, definitely has something to do with that communal experience, like a CSA pickup where people can share recipes or talk about products they liked or just share food experiences.
As I say, the pickup spot may be becoming a little bit of a pickup spot, like the aisles of the farmers markets or, the Union Square Whole Foods.
That's
just
a good idea.
Just throwing it out there.
Right?
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes, the pickup spot is a pickup spot. I like that. We'll play there. Where do I want to go now? You know, I think what makes me excited about Good Eggs is that it's not just produce. It's not just like the sort of CSA where it's just farm products. You get to pick your stuff, hand-picked, so you can make your own basket. But you also include these value-added small producers. What is the relationship in the communication process between the food makers? And you talked a little bit about sort of user-generated innovation in terms of where is Good Eggs going next. How important is that give and take and that conversation between both your consumers and the farmers and the food makers that you guys are dealing with?
Super important. I mean, the most important, because we want to be creating this community. And, any way that we can get them to collaborate together, or that we can collaborate with them or help them in any way, or if they can help us in any way, then the more of that, the merrier.
Yeah, and I think also, one thing that we've made a part of our kind of project and program is to act as the first line of customer service between buyers and the producers so that we can actually mediate communication in a way that is a little bit more controlled and constructive than often happens. So a lot of producers are really dying for feedback from customers, and you know, when people are shopping on Good Eggs, there's a really easy way to click contact the producer, and then we can sort of mediate that communication and get customers in touch with the food makers, which is really exciting. The other, I think, exciting potential with this community that is developing around Good Eggs is that, like you said, we have you know, prepared foods and value-added producers right along with farmers. And so they're all delivering, or somehow the product is getting to our aggregation point, which means that there's potential for cross, for, you know, Kelly Gary getting product from a local farm for her pies or her whatever, you know, meal box she's making. So that is a really exciting kind of added right. benefit from aggregation.
Connecting the doers of the world.
Yeah, I just, you know, one example of that is just yesterday I had, I was meeting with this girl who makes the most amazing nut milks, and she's incredible. She says a mantra to each, you know, almond before she whips it up. And she's just starting out, and really her product is amazing. So I was able to connect her with, you know, an established food maker, PieCore, who makes incredible pies, you know, who's going to provide her with a kitchen space so that she can now incubate her business and doesn't, you know, at an affordable price. And I just think that's such a valuable connection.
I love all the connections being made here at Good Eggs. Before we finish for the day, we have our first delivery Friday. Tell everybody how they can put their order in before the deadline so they can be on the cutting edge of disrupting the food distribution of local food.
Go to www.goodeggs.com/NYC, and you'll see all of our beautiful produce and all of our beautiful foods up there. Put them in your basket. Put in the promotion code CHERRYCOBBLER, all one word, for 15% off, and then choose a pickup so you can come by and meet us.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
Yeah, thanks so much for Good
Thank
Eggs
you
being
so
here.
Thank you so much for having
yeah,
us.
Josh, Allie, Aaron, Dedrick in the engineering booth. You've been listening to a special community session. Remember, we're a 501c3 not-for-profit, so go onto the website, donate, support local food, support food movement. Thanks for stopping by, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.